Well, good morning. I think as a baby of the family and as a preacher's kid, man, it's hard to see somebody say, look at all of these things for you to enjoy. Now, don't enjoy them. Right? So all you kids, look at this nice stuff and stay away from them, right? That's what I heard. I don't know if that's what any of them heard, too. So I say to parents and maybe to grandparents at a lesser degree, good luck, right? Good luck. I did come in this morning. Cassie, Missy, Sandy, bunch came up yesterday and put all of this stuff up. And Missy last night, she said, I'm going to go make sure everything is still up before I go to bed. And it was kind of lightning and thundering around. And for whatever reason, I said, it's going to be all right. It's going to be fine. And when I came in this morning, it was like a flood had happened. The green had came down, the moon had fallen, the sun fell from the sky. So you all are seeing a miracle in and of itself that all of this is back up. This was, I always say Vacation Bible School was probably my dad's favorite time of the year. He loved Vacation Bible School. And so I think maybe just to be a little bit antagonistic, I never have. It's the one week that let's get it over with. If we could have Vacation Bible School January 1st through the 4th, I would do that just so we could already have it out of the way and over with. I'm starting to learn to like it a little bit more. And I think when you kind of start thinking about Vacation Bible School, and maybe there's a little bit of familiarity breeds contempt, because maybe when you come here every Sunday and then now your mom and dad tell you it's going to be Vacation Bible School and you're going to go every day, maybe as a kid you're just like, that feels like a whole lot. I'd rather go to the pool. But now as an adult and you look back and you start thinking about different things, and you think about the time when faith really became something that became real to you, right? Not just handed down to you from your parents, but something that got inside of you and took root. So think about where you were, how old were you, who all was in that setting. I'd be willing to bet, probably not a great phrase to use from the pulpit, right? But I would still be willing to bet that moment happened when you were pretty young. And maybe it was a song that you heard that you still can't get out of your head. Maybe it was a story about a young man in a lion's den, or a boy with just a sling and a stone. Maybe it was a story that was told on some flannel board a long time ago, and the person who told it to you wore the same kind of perfume that your grandma did, and she also told you things like, Jesus loves you, and you believed them. And that's not a small thing, right? That is one of the most, if not the most, important thing in the world. And so this week, we're going to open the doors for Vacation Bible School and just to kind of go over what we are doing when we're doing that. We're not just running a program, although that's certainly what we are doing. We're not just keeping kids occupied for a few hours, although again, that's certainly what we will be doing. But ultimately, we're doing something eternal. We are pointing children towards the same Christ who spoke the stars into existence, who now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for not just them, but us as well. And I sort of want the weight of that to be felt by us this morning. And then I hope that we can be encouraged by it, because I don't think there is anything more worth doing. I think before we can talk about what we can do for children, we should talk about who we are introducing them to. Because if we get this part wrong, if we give them Jesus who's just a nice teacher, who's just a good example, who's a good moral guide, then we've really given them something that is far too small. Hopefully the Jesus that we are introducing these children to is the Jesus of John chapter 1. And listen to those words that Bobby read earlier, where in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John, of course, reaches all the way back to the very first words of Scripture, in the beginning. And he tells us there that Jesus was already present. Not created, not just arriving on scene, already there, already God, and not just present, but he's active. Everything that was made through him. Paul would echo this to the church in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And so you look at the scenery up here, every mountain range, every ocean, every galaxy that we've yet to discover with our own instruments, everything has been made by him. The children in the classrooms, made by him, for him, and held together by him for this very moment. And one of the things that is great about Vacation Bible School, I think, with the creation theme, is we can tell kids about that. When those kids walk in and they learn about the sky and the sea and the animals and the stars, we get to tell them about the one who made all of this. And that one knows your name. And he loves you. He came to earth to seek out your soul. And that's not science, right? That is the gospel. We're not introducing children to an abstract idea or just a historical figure. But we're introducing them, again, to the one who we believe holds the universe together, who ultimately holds them together. Now, here's sort of where the story gets even more remarkable. The Creator, who spoke everything into existence, did not stay distant. He didn't remain untouchable in the heavens. He comes down. And so John writes in verse 14 of chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I say it every time that I read that verse, that word dwelt literally means that he pitched a tent with us. He tabernacled with us. That the Creator put on skin and moved into the neighborhood. He got tired. He got hungry. He sat down at wells and talked with people that nobody else wanted to talk to. He let the little children climb into his lap. In fact, just remember what Jesus says to his disciples when they try to shoo the children away, thinking that Christ was too important, too busy, too significant for these little children to be messing with. Jesus says in Matthew 19, verse 14, to let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belong to the kingdom of heaven. Don't hinder them. That's a word that I think the Lord still uses today. Don't hinder them. Don't slow them down. Let them grow up knowing who Jesus is. Don't let them be so busy with screens and with schedules and with every other thing that we can think of that the world is throwing at us that they never have a chance to hear about the God who has made them and loves them and came to earth to save them. Vacation Bible School is one of the most powerful tools that the church has ever had for telling children to come. That you are welcome here, Jesus wants you here, and we are not too busy for you. We look over into the book of Hebrews because the book of Hebrews is such an important book where we can understand what it means to come to what we are doing for these children. Easy for me to say, right? The writer of Hebrews opens with a sweeping statement about who Jesus is, and you notice how he connects it with what we've already seen. In Hebrews 1, beginning in verse 1, the writer says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And we see it again there. The Son, through God, created the world. The one who upholds the universe by the word of his power. This creator of John chapter 1 is also the sustainer of Colossians chapter 1. And now here in Hebrews, we find the ultimate and complete word of God to humanity. The argument of Hebrews is this. Everything that came before, right? The prophets, the priests, the sacrifices, the tabernacle, the law, all of that was pointing forward. It was a shadow. And Jesus is the substance. Jesus is the high priest who has entered into the true holy place, not made by human hands. And he has offered not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood. And that was for one time for the sins of the entire world. And so the writer in chapter 4 of Hebrews, beginning in verse 14, he says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And so do you know what that means for the children sitting in a VBS classroom? It really means that they have a God who gets it, right? A God who knows what it's like to be small, to be afraid, to feel like nobody is listening. Jesus was a child once who grew up, was tempted. He understands, he knows, he's not far away. A great high priest making intercession for us right now. And then there's this, in chapter 12, verse 1 of Hebrews, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see that a cloud of witnesses, a race with endurance. Jesus as the one we fix our eyes upon. A lot of times that's a theme that we have for Vacation Bible School. When we run Vacation Bible School, when we teach these children about the Word, when we sing with them and pray with them and tell them about a story about a God who loves them, we are then sort of handing them the baton, right? We are saying this race has been going for thousands and thousands of years. Saints have run this race before you, and now it's going to be your turn. And so fix your eyes on Jesus. We sort of get to the practical part of this, because sometimes I think we underestimate what we can do. We look at the children growing up in the world we live in, and it can feel pretty overwhelming, right? The influences are so loud. The culture is so aggressive. The pressures they face are really unlike anything that most of us have navigated at their age. And we can be tempted to think, what can I really do? We're just a dot on the map in little old Concord. We certainly don't have the budget of larger churches. We don't have the production quality maybe that a service on YouTube would have. So what do we have to offer? Well, what we have to offer is the truth, right? The living word of God, the name of Jesus and people who actually love them. Research has shown time and time again that the most significant factor in whether a child holds on to their faith into adulthood is not programs or not production value. It is relationships with caring adults within the church. It is adults who know their name, people who show up, and people that make them feel like they matter. Every volunteer who teaches a class this week is doing something with eternal consequences. Every person who learns a child's name and gets down with them on their level and tells them that Jesus loves them, you are doing the most important work on the planet. Back in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 through 7, there God's word says, "These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." It's not a suggestion. It's one of the most urgent commands in all of Scripture. Teach them diligently. Talk about God when you sit down and when you walk with them and when you lie down at bed and then again when you get up. Make faith the fabric of daily life, not just a Sunday thing or maybe a Wednesday thing or a once a year VBS thing. Make it be the air that your family breathes. Solomon in Proverbs says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Probably all of us, to a degree of in adulthood, have carried the weight of a child or a grandchild who has wandered. And I'm not standing up here to pile on the grief by any means. That verse is a principle, right? It's not a guarantee, and God's grace reaches further than any of us have ever wandered. But I will say this, the seeds we plant in children when they are young do not disappear. They go down deep. Sometimes they don't bloom until decades later. But I encourage you, keep praying, keep loving, and keep planting. So if we come back to where we started this, back to John chapter 1, I think it's one of the most encouraging things I know right now for anyone who is pouring life into children. Verses 4 and 5 of John 1 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." It's not past tense. It's not future tense, right? It's present tense. It is shining right now. And darkness, no matter how thick, no matter how aggressive, no matter how many forms it takes, has never been able to put it out. And so every child who walks through the doors this week is walking into that light. And some of them are coming from real and true darkness, difficult homes, confusion, fear, loneliness. And we get the people to say, there is light, that there is hope, that there is a God who made you and who loves you and has sent his son to find you. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. Radiance, that is active light. That is light that is going somewhere, doing something, and pushing back against the dark. As Christians, we are his people. We are, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, the light of the world. A city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So this week I encourage to let your lights shine. Let it shine in the patience we show when a child asks the same question for the 100th time, that we need to just love a little bit harder. Let that light shine in the way that we offer prayer for children who we don't see very often, and for children who don't necessarily have anyone else praying for them. Let's shine a light in a song that gets stuck in their head and plays back to them over and over and over again when they're scared and they need to know that somebody loves them. That is the work this week. That is the glorious work of Vacation Bible School, and it is work that can last forever. There's a reason that the writer of Hebrews closes his great argument about Jesus with this call to run a race, because that's what it is, right? It is a race. And it takes endurance. Loving children takes patience. Teaching takes preparation. VBS takes weeks of planning and prayer and people willing to give up their evenings. It's not easy. But we are not running alone, right? As the writer says, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Every saint who has ever taught a child the word of God, every parent who has ever prayed over a sleeping child, a grandmother who has put a Bible in a grandchild's hand, they are cheering for us. And Christ, the founder and perfecter of our faith, stands at the finishing line. So this morning, here's my charge, I guess. Pray for Vacation Bible School. Pray for the children who will come. Pray for the volunteers and pray for the families. Ask God to do something in the hearts of these little ones that will last a lifetime. Show up. If you can teach, teach. If you can help, help. If you can bake a snack, I guess, just leave that in the office for me. If you can smile and learn a kid's name, do that. I promise it matters more than you will know. And then finally, trust God, right? Trust the Word. We are not the ones who will change hearts. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Our job is to be faithful, to plant seeds, to water it, and to trust that God, who made these children, will make it grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. We plant, we water, and we trust the God who holds the universe together to hold these children and to draw them to himself. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It never will. It can't. And so this week we go and we do our best to shine. And so this morning, if you are here today and you don't know Jesus, if you have never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I say the same to you, that the same Jesus who spoke creation into existence, who came down and walked among man, who gave his life on the cross to raise again from the dead, I believe he is here this morning. And he's calling your name. We read it so often, and I don't want it to lose its meaning, but when the people were cut to the quick, when they had realized what they had done, and they asked Peter, is there anything we can do to be made right again with God? And Peter instructed them the same that he instructs us today, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That invitation is open today. It's open every day. If you have a need and you need to respond, we encourage you to do so as together we stand and we sing.